This is real news. Where is it? I'm Peter Laufer, co-director of the University of Oregon UNESCO Crossings Institute.
It gives me great pleasure to welcome to Real News my friend and colleague from the University of Oregon School of Journalism and Communication, Mark Blaine. And the reason why it's great to have Mark here, well, there are plenty of reasons, but the reason specifically is that he's not just a journalist and not just a journalism professor, but he also is a journalist who specializes in science reporting. And so when we, Mark, are at this time where there is, from my point of view, bizarre skepticism regarding the reporting of news about COVID and the vaccine and news about climate change and global warming at a time when today we're talking and where our university is located, it's supposed to be 104 degrees today, which is so out of the ordinary. What can you advise news consumers regarding how to separate the disinformation, the misinformation, the propaganda, the outright lies from news that has some veracity to it?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think first I'm going to start left, right, or center. I think that there is veracity question, and then there's the, just the bending question of how the news is reported. And, you know, the first thing I would say about the sciences in particular, there is historic conflict around how journalism has traditionally covered the sciences, I would argue, and what the sciences actually do. And that conflict, one of them, I would define as how the news cycle works, and that we're always looking for a hook. We're always looking for some sort of new thing. News is new, right? Well, that leads a lot of journalists, me included, I've been on this list of reporting about the new finding, the paper that was just published in Nature or on down the list of journals that provides some novel finding. That's interesting at a certain level. It's probably more interesting if you have some depth of knowledge and expertise within that area.
Some context.
Like you, if you are a scientist who studies that, but to cherry pick a piece of information, like one research study from a journal and provide it, and often provide it without context, or provide it with a context that is not thorough enough, not enough context to your context, then that becomes a problem, because then
that is a problem of journalism, and so it's a problem for journalism consumers. But that, not to minimize it, is very different than what we are seeing more and more of, which is disinformation, misinformation, lies presented as if they are established journalism and established information.
Yes, but those lies are presented in very consumable bits that play to our tendencies to want news hooks. We've cut a deep groove in doing this in the sciences in particular, and this study says this and this study says that. So the misinformation, disinformation often plays on that same system. And so that it's like a study over here or a comment over here or a interpretation of one thing. And what we really tend to miss, and this is what I would ask for people who are trying to consume the news, is to really think in this meta context, is like to really think about like, what is the body of research saying? What is the direction of the research? What is the context of all of this? Is much, much more valuable for day-to-day life and decision-making and confronting dis and misinformation than any one bit here or there. The one bits here or there, though, are the things that dis and misinformation are really preying on, because people are like, evidence is evidence.
That's a really, in the context of school, that's a tough assignment for the news consumer who just wants to spend 10 minutes with the paper in the morning or 10 mm-hmm. minutes with the TV news in the afternoon or 10 yep. minutes with Fox News for some reason in the evening.
Yep.
So what's the guidance for the busy person who wants to keep up and wonders what is going on in the world on the science side?
Yeah, if you don't have, if it does not provide full context, then you should be, red flags should be going up, first of all. Second, it might be intriguing to you, but check your emotions. If it does have, and this is not my idea, but like I've heard this test from a number of people now, if it strikes you in an emotional way, either in outrage or joy or whatever emotion, that's when you should start digging in, finding out more information. And, you know, I think this is a moment for the news consumer to be pushing back on the news business and to say, I want more context. Because the science story is not the individual finding. The science story is the context. The science story is, in my opinion, the broader direction of where this is taking us. The truly amazing advances that we've seen from this way of thinking that is science. There is no one science either. And I won't go down the sort of rabbit hole of what is science, but, you know, like we as consumers will say, oh, well, that's proven science. So like, well, what do you mean by that? Like, science is a lot of different things, many, many methodologies, many, many approaches. So you really have to look at it like you're an investor. Every bit of advice that we get as investors, you know, our retirement accounts are usually put into, you know, a broad spectrum of things, because that creates a buffer for us against any one bad call.
So we need a diversity of news.
Yes, you need absolutely need a diversity of news with this, and a diversity of thought. And that's not just like saying, oh, well, I read or I watch MSNBC and I watch Fox, so I'm good. You know, like that's really not, I mean, I think you're getting whipsawed from two, you know, different opinion factories there. That's not helpful. But I think it's like, I really like to draw a bead on this. Like, do you have an emotional reaction to this bit of content? Okay. So then challenge that emotion, because that's a really terrific,
that's a really terrific tool. So before we say goodbye, let's take it back, if we can, from these important broad considerations to the specifics that are so germane to our current era, COVID and vaccine, mm-hmm. and climate change, warming.
Yep.
What does the consumer do regarding getting valid information to help guide their lifestyles about these two critical science-based issues that are so fraught with politics?
Well, I'll start with COVID, because simple solutions are not sexy solutions. Simple solutions are often not newsy solutions, but simple solutions tend to be our best solutions in this case. In terms of COVID, you know, what is all the advice that we're getting? It's not bend over backwards, crazy interventions. It's wear a mask, be smart about where you're going. That doesn't work very well with the news, because it's the same thing over and over again, but the message is the same every single time. So it doesn't require you to unpack. So if you are out there, a piece of advice, there's the emotional thing, but the other thing is, if you're out there really digging for novel solutions as a news consumer, unless you're in the thick of actually making change, the novel solutions are fine. Like, let yourself geek out on those, but you probably have some really simple solutions right in front of you that you're ignoring because you want something that's novel. Wear a mask.
Yes. Yes.
Like, try to avoid using fossil fuels as much. Things like that, like super simple, not sexy at all. Like, there will be some sexy, cool, technologically amazing solutions. I mean, like the vaccine technology is really fascinating. I mean, like, we should be celebrating how quickly we made those things. But again, the fact that our backs are to the wall and we're relying on this technology to do this neglects the fact that there are really basic fundamental things that you can do, and don't, as a news consumer, deny those things because they aren't necessarily novel. The signal fades on those in the news system because, again, they're simple, it's repetitive, all of those things. We're not going to necessarily report it, dear fellow news people. Maybe that's a problem. Maybe it's an ethical thing that we need to address, but go back to those basic principles. Like, this is your starting point. Are you going to be distant from people, appropriate amount of space from people? What do you know about where they're coming from? Are you wearing a mask? You know, how long are you going to be there? Like, it's all dose response, sort of basic kind of stuff we know.
Yes. And a little bit of critical thinking mixed in before you drop however much money on your Tesla, maybe think through what the upstream and downstream realities are for the batteries.
Exactly.
And take that to your consumption of news by focusing on questions on sources that you have some reason over time to feel are credible.
Yep.
So okay,
if you're driving,
if you're driving what? Don't let me.
Well, if you're driving, so like there probably is a difference. If you're driving your Tesla and powering it with coal fueled power plant versus you're powering it from renewable sources, well, that car is not necessarily as clean. You know, you might feel better about that. And then let's get it. We won't go down the rabbit hole of the renewables in some ways, because like if it's hydropower, then you might have be having other impacts like salmon and things like that. So as you start to unpack these things, the technological solutions, while amazing and really cool to report about as journalists, may be getting in the way of our best practices as a society. It's like everyone going out and buying an electric car is not probably the solution. The solution is us using less fossil fuels. So what's the simplest way to go and do that?
University of Oregon School of Journalism and Communication, Professor Mark Blaine, it's always a pleasure. And you are helping us all, as is this Real News series, figure out what's real news. Thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Real News. Where is it? I'm Peter Laufer, co-director of the University of Oregon UNESCO Crossings Institute. Join us again for more on Real News.